this word has really been churning in my spirit to the point where I cannot hardly contain myself when it comes to sharing it with you this morning. And so if you will be so inclined, I want you to join me in two passages of scripture. I want to take you to 2 Samuel, the fifth chapter. I want to read the first four verses, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 17. And then the second scripture I'm going to give you is Psalms 92. But I want to start here in 2 Samuel. And like the Lord, I'm declaring the end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. And I've been preaching all month long about preparing to win. It comes from the word that God gave us as a church in the beginning of this year. No weapon, just winning. Often, though, when God gives insight like that or instruction like that or a word like that, the misunderstanding is that we have a view of what we perceive winning looks like. And so sometimes we can miss the fact that we are winning when it often feels like we're losing. And I know I'm on point when I say and suggest to you that this year completely hasn't felt like you've been winning. Okay, I'm going to go over here and say it, because in order for this word to really impact you today, now, if you fight me, I'm going to fight you back. I can fight right through all of your facial expressions and everything. None of that stuff bothers me at all. But what I'm trying to say to you is that God is trying to confirm something to you. He's not trying to convince you of anything. That's why you have to have faith. Lord, have mercy. What else are you going to hear today for you to believe God? So as he speaks to us this morning, as the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us this morning, for his life from Saul. Saul put a hit out on this joker. And now he's running and hiding out in caves. And he finds himself down in the cave Adullam. And the Bible says all the men in the whole country who were distressed hooked up with him because misery loves company. Y'all ain't said nothing. So everybody around him is losing. Nobody is winning. And it feels like they're never going to be anything that God has called them to be. And then the Bible says that in that cave, David begins to understand who he really is. Is and what he's called to do, and that he ain't got to rob nobody, trick nobody, or act like he's crazy to get what God has called him to do. He went through all types of periods and difficulties and seasons between already done and not yet. He had to go on the ground and foam at the mouth with the king of Gath to look like he was crazy so that they would spare his life, which was in Philistine. You know you're losing your mind when you hook up with the people that want to kill you. Y'all ain't said nothing. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all shouted. You know God delivered you, but you start losing your mind when you go back to the bar that God brought you out of. Come on here, somebody. Oh, I'm talking to somebody up in here. You go back to the people that God had delivered you from, and you're back there, and you're finding yourself doing stuff that you ain't done in years and craving stuff that you ain't craved in years because you're in between the middle of already done and not yet. Y'all ain't gonna talk back to me, but I know where you are. I can see you in the spirit. I can see you. I feel you all over this room. What you don't understand is already done. My God is keeping you from going crazy in the middle. Oh, God. Oh. How honest can we really be this morning? Because I guarantee you this year, you found yourself in the position saying, God, I'm sorry. I need a break for a minute from faith. I need a break for a minute from praise. I need a break for, oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. Stop going to church for a little while. Stop reading your Bible for a little while. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You ain't going to talk back to me, but I know I'm talking right to you. Gave up just a little bit, but something on the inside of you was almost like fire shut up in your bones. And every time you tried to quit on it, every time you tried to get up, something just pulled you back because already done is saying, nope, I ain't gonna let you go because there's a word I spoke over your life that's got to come to pass because my word cannot return unto me void. Slap your neighbor high five and say, already done is keeping you. Oh God, already done is keeping you. God has already done it. He's already done it in eternity. He's already done it, my God, before the foundations of the world. And so you stand in the middle of what was already done and what's not yet. The spiritual has not become physical yet. So I'm anointed and I'm walking in this anointing, and my family knew that I was anointed, but they still don't believe in me. Oh, Jesus. Everybody knew that that was around me, that I could kill a giant, but they still don't see me as king. They just see me as the giant killer, but they don't really know I'm anointed to be king, which means I can function in a level of my potential, but curse myself by not maximizing my potential just because I'm popular, Lord have mercy, based on what I already did. Oh, so now you have to understand that how you alleviate the tension between already done and not yet is with hindsight. That's retrospective. In the text, if you will, of 2 Samuel, we have something that is retrospective. The reason we know it's retrospective is because it's peeling back to what was already done. The tribe comes to David in Hebron. Why? Because Saul is dead. Oh, God, I feel the prophetic thing going on. Saul is dead. For all intents and purposes, allow me just leave the text for a moment and submit this to your spirit as a caveat. Saul is dead. Saul is a religious spirit that keeps you bound in your potential, but doesn't allow you to be released into the fullness of who God created you to be. It is the thing that keeps you on the run. It is the thing that keeps you in the cave. I wish I had somebody in here. And Saul is dead. That means prophetically and spiritually, whatever represents Saul over your life, God just said, it's dead. Oh, I'm gonna fight you right back. Look at your name and say, that thing is dead. So why are you running from a dead thing? Why are you hiding from a? It's dead. Saul is dead. And so back to the text, Saul is dead. And so now the Bible says that the elders come of all the tribes to David in Hebron because they don't have a king. And David gets his second anointing when he becomes the king of Judah. Judah is the southern tribe of Israel. And so it is just one fraction of the whole tribe. Oh, God. That means that when God anointed him with the ram's horn in front of his family, that anointing wasn't in fractions. God doesn't favor you in fractions. God is not going to give you one third of his peace. Oh, one fourth of his mercy. Oh, y'all not in here with me. God gives you the whole thing. I'm going to fight you right back in the spirit. Look at your name and say, God doesn't favor me in fractions. When he favored me with the whole thing. When he anointed me with the whole thing. What makes you think you're going to get a little bit of peace and a little bit of joy? And stop asking God for a little bit. He gave you the whole thing. And when you're in the middle of already done and not yet, you start settling for a little bit. David spends 14 years, if you will, as king over Judah. And he gets anointed king over Judah. But now Saul is dead. And so they come to David down in Judah, the southern tribe. And they say, they come to the king. They says, King, you are our blood and our flesh. Really? Y'all was fighting me just a second ago. Basically, they said, we family. We kinfolk, dog. You know you my cousin. You know we good. We was fighting just a second ago. Y'all was trying to kill me just a moment ago. Oh, God, Lord, have mercy. But when a man's ways please the Lord, I don't have no church. He makes even his enemies be at peace with him. And so they come and they say, they offer him this peace offering. And they say, we have no king and we want to make you king over all of Israel. And so he becomes king over all of Israel. And the Bible says they anoint David with oil. So retrospectively, Psalms 92, David begins to write in Psalms 92 from the memory of what's happening in 2 Samuel 5. And he's writing it because he understands the Sabbath. The Sabbath day is a psalm for the Sabbath. If you read it in your header, Psalms 92 is a psalm for the Sabbath. Why? Because God institutes the Sabbath day as a day of transition, as a period of crossing over, as a marking of rest, as what God, as being reflective on what God has done and getting ready for what God is about to do. The reason why the whole series is called Prepare to Win is because you have to be retrospective with hindsight. You have to look backwards in order to be able to look forward. That's what vision really is. Come on, somebody. It's the ability to be able with hindsight to look back and look forward and look in. But first, let's look back. And as he begins to look back, he begins to say, oh, it is good to praise the Lord. The reason he begins to say it is good to praise the Lord because he begins to remember everything that he went through while he was struggling with already done. Oh, look at your name and say, it's good to give God praise. Because when I think back over my life, I begin to wonder how in the world I made it to where I am. I gotta take a 30-second praise break and thank God for all. Oh, I wish I had some praisers in the room right now that can remember that God brought you a mighty long way. pulled you up out of the muck and mire. Set your feet upon a rock. David begins to tell himself it is good to praise the Lord. He begins to remind himself of why he praises God. Not that this just is good, but why I'm praising him. I'm praising him because I remember what it was like when I killed the giant, and I remember what it was like when they were trying to kill me, and I remember what it was like when I was hiding in the cave, and I began to write, my God, when I was in that cave, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. I remember when I was trying to know that I was anointed, and my God, all I had was him. When my mother and father forsook me, the Lord took me up, and so I began to write, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When I was walking through valleys and I thought the arrows was going to come down and get me, I began to write, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? The Lord thy God, he is. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you better have a total recall right now. You better begin to remember what the Lord has. He saved my soul. He healed my body. He delivered my children. Ain't nobody in this room that shouldn't be up praising God right now for what the Lord has done for you already. Already. See, when you understand what God has done for you already, that's why you can get excited about your future. Look at your neighbor and say, if he did that, what makes you think he's not about to do? He did it when you didn't have it all together. He did it when you was, oh God, Lord have mercy. He did it when you was jacked up. He did it, come on here somebody, when you were absolutely guilty, and he still did it. I wish I had somebody in here. Do me a quick favor. I'm sorry, y'all sit down. I'm sorry. I got y'all messed up. While you're sitting down, look at your neighbor and say, you're not that powerful. What makes you think you're that powerful that you're going to stop God's purpose? Oh God, I got to hurry up. That's why hindsight is powerful. Hindsight teaches you, wait a second, I didn't have it together back then. Oh God, I was out playing with my little sling, with my potential. Y'all ain't said nothing. I was out with my little lyre harp. Y'all ain't said, I didn't know I would write all these psalms. Y'all ain't said nothing. I didn't know I was going to be king over the whole thing. I thought he was playing. He was serious. So that means in hindsight, that means everything that you have gone through has prepared you for where God is about to take you. Ah, which leads us now to insight. The insight of the text is David understanding that it is good to praise the Lord. It is good that I wrote these psalms. It is good that I kept my faith the way that I did, believing in God. And then he writes inside, right in the middle of Psalms 92 and verse 10, he begins to write, my God, he's made me as strong as an ox. King James uses the word unicorn, but what he's saying, he's made me as strong as an ox, which means I got some work I got to do. He's not anointed me to be cute. He's anointed me to go and do the work that he's called me to do. Oh God, I'm tired of all these cute anointed folk that's only anointed on Sunday. Oh, come on here, somebody. I need some folk that know that the anointing travels. That when I walk into the corporate boardroom, I'm anointed. When I go into my cubicle, I'm anointed. When I step in my car, I don't need no organ. I don't need no praise and worship leader. I'm anointed when I woke up this morning so I can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Look at your neighbor and say, your anointing travels, baby. Because the anointing can only come through the crushings of life. The anointing can only come when you're in the middle. That's why you're in the middle, to be crushed. So when God is preparing you to win, it looks like you're losing. Because when you're being crushed, you think you're dying. You're not dying. It's just that God is bringing out of you what he put in you, and he couldn't get the juices of you without squeezing you. Paul said it this way. Paul said, I'm perplexed, but, you know, I'm cast down, but I feel forsaken, but I'm always caring about in my body the dying of the Lord. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. The dying of the Lord Jesus. And that's squeezing out what God put in you. And we don't like that. Don't feel good. Feels like losing. And so he says, you made me as strong as an ox. Why? I've been through some stuff. Oh, God. The ox is the thing that's carrying the plow. The ox is the thing that's carrying the load. My God. But in order for the ox to carry the load, you had to rub the oil down on the ox so that the yoke, my God, wouldn't burn the ox. And so the farmer would take oil and rub it all the way down the back. I wish I had somebody of the ox. And the reason, my God, it would do that, if you will, is because the ox would be irritated by little things like insects and flies. But when you had the oil on the ox, Lord have mercy, the flies could come down on the ox and the ox just keep going. God is about to anoint you to be able to not be distracted by the little things anymore. Oh God, who am I talking to in here? Little stuff getting you down. Little stuff defeating you. Slap your name and say, I'm anointed for that. I'm anointed for that. Here you are with a big vision, a big dream, and a big assignment, and you're going to be taken out by a gnat? Here you are driving in your car and a gnat on your windshield, and you're about to crash because there's a gnat in your car. And that's how some of us have been operating in 2019, forgetting the fact that I'm in the safety of this whole vehicle and just this little thing got inside and I'm distracted by the little thing. So what? They talked about you. It's a gnat. So what? They don't like you. It's a gnat. So what? It's a gnat. They don't like me. Who cares? Your like of me is not a prerequisite for the blessing that God has for my life. Oh, I feel this. I don't need your approval to be anointed. Oh, God, who am I talking to? You ain't gotta like me. Insight begins to allow you to understand that, wait a second, I'm strong. And God has made me strong. So stuff that used to bother you don't even bother you no more. Hi, God. Folk that it would take you 5 years to get over, now you done forgave them and done forgot. They still mad. You done moved on. Y'all ain't said nothing. Oh God, who am I talking to? Because you've matured into the assignment that God has called you to, and you don't got time for small minds no more. So he begins with introspection. He begins to look inside. And as he begins to look inside, he says, God has made me as strong as an ox. Thou has anointed me with fresh oil. Somebody shout, fresh oil. Whenever I would hear fresh oil, I would think about oil. And that's how just how my mind worked. And so I was reading this text, and that's why I said it was churning in my spirit. And God said, my oil's not old. Oh, Jesus. Oil doesn't age. Oh my God. How do you know? Don't you drive your car? Your car is driving off of crude oil. Crude oil is oil that was here centuries ago. Centuries ago that somebody refined. That's why it's fossil. They call it fossil fuel, meaning it's old, it's dead. Y'all, like, that they brought back to life because oil doesn't get old. And when I thought about that, I said, because, you know, sometimes you preach stuff and you preach, don't bring the old oil and bring the new oil and all that type of crazy stuff. And then I thought about it. I said, wait a second. What you say, Lord? He said, yeah, oil don't get old. He said, it doesn't get old. He says, when David said he anointed me with fresh oil, he wasn't talking about old oil. He was saying that, God, you already anointed me back in private when nobody knew who I was. And then he started to look introspectively, my God, at what God was doing at his coronation. My God. And at his coronation, he began to write Psalms 92. Understanding that I didn't just get here, I was anointed to be here. So that now when it all shows up, my God, I get fresh oil. Fresh oil is fine oil. Touch your name and say, it's fine oil. That means that it's the very best, that all of the impurities are taken out of it. And so now I can operate in my assignment with no restrictions. Fresh oil means that when it comes, I got everything I need to go and do what God has called me to do. And the temporariness of already and not yet is over. And the permanence of what I'm called to do now starts taking place. Touch your name and say, it was just temporary. It was just temporary. Everything that you've been enduring was just temporary. Everything that you've been facing was just temporary. That lack was just temporary. That layoff was just temporary. That struggle was just, who am I talking to? It was just temporary. Fresh oil. Thou anoint me with fresh oil. And when he got anointed with the fresh oil, my God, the Bible says they anointed him with this fresh oil. The elders are there. Everybody's there. And they anoint him with fresh oil. But it's in Hebron. Oh, Lord, how can I rule over all of Israel from Hebron, which is in the south? I got to find a new location. I got to go somewhere different because my assignment is calling me to something greater. And so he begins to move from Hebron to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, he's finding out that the Jebusites, Lord have mercy, have taken over Jerusalem. And so the Jebusites are there, and they're right outside of the city. And so he meets them, and the Bible says that they tell him, nobody can get in. You would have to, they give him this pun, you would have to be blind and lame to figure your way to get out in here because there's no way in the hold. And David looked at them and said, you must be crazy. When you are anointed, you look at anything that's in front of you like obstacles as opportunities. And you begin to say to the people that's opposing you, you must be crazy. You forgot what God has already done for me. You think he brought me to this point to lose now? When you remember what God has already done for you, you think God has brought you to this point to lose now? The devil is a liar. You didn't make it out of what you made it out of to lose now. My God, you didn't escape in your right mind. Oh, I feel it. You got to help me out a little bit in here because I'm about to wake somebody up. Just do this gently. Don't pull nobody arm socket out. You know, preachers, we get hot and heavy sometimes, and you know, we say some crazy stuff like, you know, touch your neighbor and all that stuff. That's cool, but just do this prophetically and just grab your neighbor by the hand for a second and say, you can't lose now. 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 You can't. Oh, God, I feel that thing already. You cannot lose. I feel that thing in the spirit. You cannot lose. You've come too far. You've been through too much. You cannot lose. Oh, somebody that believe it ought to just shout it. I can't lose now. There's no way I can lose now. Let me wrap this thing up. And so, he defeats the Jebusites. He takes the city. And when he takes the city, if you will, the Bible says now he's building stuff. He's setting up. He's bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and everything is happening. And then the Bible says, when the Philistines heard that he had become king over all of Israel, they came to fight him. Why? Because if the enemy can defeat you in your beginning, he can ensure that you never make it to your end. So the text then suggests retrospection. It suggests introspection. Lord have mercy. But then also it suggests something else. It suggests I got a future out of all of this. And regardless of what is opposing me at this very moment, I still have a future. That's why you can't lose now. Just one more time, I feel that thing in the spirit. Look at your name and say, you can't lose now. Lord have mercy. And so as David begins to suggest that he can't lose now, he begins to look forward. And as he begins to look forward, that's what vision is called. My God, insight, my God, hindsight and foresight. Foresight is the ability to be able to see forward, to see what things are going to look like down the road. And so the Bible says that when the Philistines came up, because of hindsight, retrospect, let me go back and ask God, should I go for it? And as he goes back to ask God, he says, they came up before me, should I go for it? And the Bible says, God said, yeah, I need you to go ahead and go for it. And so the Bible says that David went down to them. See, some things you're going to have to fight and you're going to have to go down and get it for yourself. You can't let the enemy just come up in your territory. You can't let the enemy just come after your family. You can't let the enemy just come after your marriage. You can't let the enemy just come after your vision. You got to go down and confront the enemy. Slap your neighbor and say, when you got foresight, you confront it. Whatever you don't face, my God, you're going to lose against. If you don't face it, you're going to lose against it. Tuck at your name and say, I ain't scared. I'm going down there. I know we were arguing, but I ain't scared. I'm going back down there. And I'm going to grab you by the hand and say, what God has brought together, let no man, my God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let no man put asunder. If you don't confront it, it's going to conquer you. Some stuff you got to go and confront. And you got to look the devil in the eye and say, not today, Joker. Not today, devil. No, sucker. You ain't going to get victory over what God has already promised me. And you ain't going to scare me to run. Come on, somebody. You showed up because I got a vision. You showed up. When your vision shows up, your enemies show up. When your coronation happens, my God, your enemy comes to take you out before you gain strength. But what they don't know is that through insight, introspection, you already know he made me strong as an ox. So whatever you bring, I got something for you. That worked 5 years ago, but I'm strong now, baby. Oh, God, that worked 6 months ago. So watch this. He goes down and confronts the enemy this time. And when he goes down to confront the enemy, the Bible says he goes down, confronts the enemy, and as he does, he begins to name the place where God has given him victory as Baal Perazim, which means the Lord has broken through. In other words, it wasn't like when he killed Goliath. When he killed Goliath, they sung songs about him. But now when I got this new anointing, all I want to do is sing about the Lord. I don't care who's singing about me, because I've realized it ain't about me. That's why I had to deal with the middle. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Now I want to say the Lord has broken through. Slap your name and say, you're going to give God credit this time. Oh, God, because what God is about to do in your life, nobody but him. I'm preaching up in here. I'm preaching up in here. Here's where it gets interesting. The Bible says they left their images. Their images were their idols. And they left them from running from the battle of losing. The Bible says David burned their images. He wasn't going to allow the images of the enemy to confront him anymore. He burned them. And the Bible says the Philistines came back. And when they came back, David goes and inquires of the Lord again, because David is realizing, yes, you teach my hands to war, but ain't no need to go to fight if you ain't with me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Don't pick any battles that God didn't tell you to fight. Why? Because his battles come with blessings. When God tells you to fight a battle, there's spoils behind it. That's something he wants you to gain. That's something he wants you to get. When you start picking your own fights, you just fight. So the Bible says, as I close this thing out, I feel the Lord here. The Bible says that David inquires of the Lord again. And when he inquires of the Lord again, he says, shall I go after it? And God says, no, don't go after it like you went after it the last time. So let me give you this one little prophetic instruction. What got you here won't get you there. What got you here won't get you there. Prepare to win and causes you to recognize and realize that until you hear from God, don't move. Until you know it's the Lord, don't do anything. Some stuff you got to confront on the front end. Lord, have mercy. But he got permission to go down from the Lord. But then God says, no, I want you to change up your strategy. Look at your neighbor and say, I can change up my strategy. It's all right. It's all right. Some stuff I'm going to confront, but some stuff I'm going to wait for. Some stuff I'm going to confront, but some stuff I'm going to wait for. I wish I had some help in here. And the Bible says he waited until God gave him the strategy. And God says, I don't want you to confront them this time. Why? Because they're down in the valley of Rephaim. They're going to see you coming. I want you to march around them, and I want you to go back from behind them. And then I don't want you to move, because I want you to wait until you hear the sound of me going through the mulberry trees. What does that mean? God says, I want you to go behind them, and I want you to watch to see what I'm about to do. Slap your name and say, can you see God now? I feel like preaching in here. In other words, I want to see how, I want you to watch how I fight. God said to David, I want you to see how I do this thing. And I want you to wait to see to what I'm going to do to them. And when you hear the sound of me going through the mulberry trees, I want you to bestir yourself. What does that mean? I want you to start making your battle cry. I want you to start getting ready for war. I want you to start shouting and screaming, because what's going to happen, my God, the enemy is going to be so terrified that they're going to start being discomfited and confused and not going to be able to mount an attack against you. And that's exactly what happened. The enemy got confused. It got so confused that they lost the battle So much so they never gained strength over Israel again. Why? Because God told David to go for it. My assignment this morning is real simple. You about to go for it. No. Some of y'all don't understand. You're not going like you used to go. You're about to go with all of the anointing. You're not going with a little bit of favor. You're going with all the favor. You're not going with a little bit of power. You're going with all the power. Oh God, I feel like preaching to you here. You're not going with a little bit of wisdom. You're going with all the wisdom. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to go for it. 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 I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you, Holy Ghost. So why aren't you excited to go for it? Why aren't you losing your mind right now? Why aren't you running around this church talking about I'm going for it? Because deep down in your psyche, you're starting to think about all of the troubles you got right now. All the heaviness you brought in this room that I can feel all over this place. All the stuff you've been carrying. That's why God said, I'm about to anoint you with fresh oil. Fresh oil is oil that don't run out. Lord have mercy. It's refined oil. It's oil that'll carry you, my God, to the next generation. David never had to get anointed again. I'm preaching way better than y'all shall. Our God, and God established his kingdom forever. Our God, so this is your coronation of your vision. And God is about to unleash fresh oil. And if you're sitting in this room, then you know you are ready to receive fresh oil. You got to let go of all of your psychological problems and all the stuff that you're carrying at this moment and all your mistakes and all your guilt and say, God, I'm ready to receive fresh oil. And I'm ready to be obedient to the point to go and do what you have called me to do. I'm ready to be used regardless of how I feel about deserving the fact that you want to use me. You created a purpose and then you made a person. I'm a person for the purpose you created. And I know you got an assignment for your life. And I've come to realize I can't do it without the anointing. For the Bible says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. My God, who am I talking to in here? When was it that you started selling it for a little bit? When was it that you started saying, well, God, good enough is just good enough? The devil is a liar. God said, I don't want to favor you with fractions. I want to give you the whole thing. And I got a fresh anointing for you this morning for the assignment that I have called you to. I wish I had somebody shout, God, give me fresh oil. Come on, lift those hands all over the church. All over the church. All over the church. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Oh, God. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Listen to me. Listen to me. Fresh oil doesn't mean you got old oil. Fresh oil doesn't mean what you have is old. It means what you have been operating in is not complete. And God is about to complete it. He that has begun a good work in you. Come on, man, who am I talking to? Shall bring it to completion. And it's already done. It's already done. It's already done. So this is what the Lord told me to tell you while you got your hands lifted up. Because when David was coronated, he lost his absolute mind. When he finally got the Ark of the Covenant, he lost his absolute mind. The Lord have mercy. He didn't rest until he got the presence of God in place before he started operating in his power. He made certain that the presence of God would be intact before he started operating in his power as king. Because in his presence is the fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. David understood that I can't do it without your presence. I can't do it without your anointing. I can't do it. So here's what the Lord told me to tell you. Because we're about to break out into praise. No. You got to hear me. And I'm not talking about that old, that. Don't praise God in the oil you've been operating in. Before the praise breaks out, you're gonna praise God in this fresh oil anointing. You got to hear what I'm saying. Because this is not about just shouting and dancing. This means something. No, you got to hear me. This means something. This is you confronting the enemy. And this is you getting strategy on how to beat him when he comes back. Because God told me to tell you this, and this is what I've been trying to do all morning. You've been standing between already done and not yet. And it's tense in that space. And as you've been trying to cope with the tension of already done and not yet, God told me to tell you this morning that he's making not yet right now. I need Holy Ghost, old-fashioned, Pentecostal, praise music. Somebody shout, it's already done. It's already done. It's already done. You've been standing in the middle. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And y'all got to get me out of here. I'm going to do this as quickly as I possibly can. I'm going to do this as quickly as I possibly can. And I don't have time. I love you. I love you. I swear. I'm sorry. I don't mean to swear. But I say this with everything that is in me as a man of God. This is not a pity party. The Lord, don't go back to worship. The Lord of the breakthrough is about to break through everything. I hear this in the spirit. The barricades are falling. I don't know what that means, but I hear it in the spirit. The barricades are falling. Whatever's been blocking you, whatever's been standing in front of you, is crumbling right before your eyes. Come on, shake yourself in the spirit. Come on, spirit of heaviness, fall off of you right now. It's already done. The barricades are breaking. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. That's it, right? That's it, right? That's it, right? That's it.
Yours, it's yours. Listen. Listen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I feel it already. The barricades are falling. The barricades are falling. My God, I feel like the barricades are falling. You ought to not look at me. You ought to not look at nobody else. And you ought to see whatever's been blocking you falling right in front of your eyes. And you ought to start praising God for that thing falling down in your life. So God said to me, son, you have one assignment today, and that is to release fresh oil, because today is the coronation of vision. Today is the coronation of vision. What does that mean? It means, what I say is already done. Hold on. When I say it's already done, you should say, my soul says yes. Because that is what's required for you to receive what's already done. It's already done. I mean, see if I can get the whole room. It's already done. It's already done.
It's already done. It's already done.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's already done. It's already done.
Already done.
It's already done.
Already done.
It's already done. It's already done. It's already done.
Already done.
It's already done. It's already done.
Now listen. I got a little bit of time. Help me take this on. I got a little bit of time. And I'm going to do this as fast as I can. If you want fresh oil on your life, don't walk. Don't half step. Don't come down here sobbing and crying. Come with your hands lifted and say, my soul says yes, God. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. I receive everything you have for me. I receive everything you have for my life. I receive every victory you want to bring my way. Receive this fresh oil. All I need is two ushers to be with me. And I'm going to lay hands on you for fresh oil. Where are my two ushers? Come on, quick, 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 quick. Fresh oil.
My fresh. Soul says
oh,
yes.
Oh, oh, oh.
My soul says yes. My soul says yes.
Fresh. Oh, fresh.
My soul
fresh
says yes.
Fresh. Fresh.
Soul
fresh.
Says
fresh.
My soul
fresh.
Says yes.
Fresh.
My soul says yes. Oh.
My soul says yes.
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 Yeah.
project. I just laid hands on you. And when I laid hands on you, I saw this in your hand. That's the mantle of the preacher's anointing that God is about to make you. And you said to him, I'm not a preacher. And God said, but I have a purpose. And now I have a person. And you are my person for that purpose. Oh, that anointing. Oh, shut up. Of the spoken, preach word of God. Be a point. Somebody shout to God. My soul says yes.
My soul says yes.
I'm only stopping for a second because, listen, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And even though you don't see it, you got to believe it like it's already done. Lift your hands and say, I may not see it, but I believe it's already done. Now give God praise for it like it's already done.
It's already done.
It's already done.
Listen. Get your seed in your hand. Get your seed in your hand. Get your offering in your hand. If you're giving on your phone, do it right now. If you have your seed, I don't want you to pass the bucket. I want you to write fresh oil on that seed, on your offering, on your tithe, whatever you're doing. And I want you to bring it over here to my left. If you haven't been prayed for, I'm going to pray for you. As soon as you get your seed, put fresh oil, put already done, and put right now. If you weren't sowing today, I want to make a suggestion for you to sow a right now seed of $40. I'm not talking about your tithe and offering. I'm talking about seed. It's the same seed I'm going to ask for on New Year's. Why? Because 2020 is a double. Vision, 40, 40, 40. David reigned 40 years. 40. I don't have time to go into that number, but just do it. As soon as you get your seed, you're offering your tithe. If it's on your phone, just come tap your phone on the altar. Do it quickly and just do it real quick. If you're online, you give it online, do it online, however you want to do it. And we won't pray for you. Hallelujah. As soon as you do it, get back to your seat and I'll give you the benediction in a second. If it's all right, do it to my left so I can pray for these that are remaining. Come on, lift your hands down here. It's already done. I may not see it, but I believe it. Huh. It's already done. It's already done. Ah, it's already done. It's all ready. Fresh oil. It's all. Oh, fresh. 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 Oh, fresh. Oil.
Ready to.
Come on, lift your hands all over the church. If you're still here, you're bringing your offering. It's already done. Come here. No, just stand right there. Fresh. Ah! Oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil, mother. Ah! Fresh oil, mother. Fresh oil, mother. Fresh oil. Oh! Fresh oil. Come on, lift those hands. If you haven't brought your offering, bring your offering. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with the fullness of his favor. You don't know what that was. This young lady is a daughter of this house. her spiritual heritage is linked to this place. I've known this girl since she was a child. Her and my daughter are friends. And many years ago, she lost her dad. And when I just prayed for her, when I just touched her, God is healing that wound that was in her heart from losing her father. I just heard, oh God, this thing is about, I'm sorry, I'm about to mess up the whole church again. If you've been struggling because you've lost a loved one and the holidays are coming, God is about to give you supernatural joy. I don't know who that is for, but if I were you and that was you, I would run to this altar. God's about to give you supernatural joy. You're not going to be depressed this holiday. You're going to have fun. Oh, gosh. Oh, shake it. God, Lord, I feel that anointing. Supernatural joy, joy, joy like a river. Joy, like a, oh, burst through like a river. Joy like the Holy Ghost. Oh, joy, 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 joy. Joy.
Once again defeated. Oh. Hey. God won again. Once again defeated, God won again.
The devil is
once again defeated, God won again.
The devil is
once again defeated,
George.
God won again.
The devil is
once again defeated,
once again
defeated,
once again
defeated, once again defeated.
Supernatural joy.
God won again. God. Once again.
Oh, God.
God won.
Healed
God
everyone.
Again.
Comfort.
Once again.
And heal.
God won again.
The devil is
once again defeated.
God won
again.
The devil is
once again defeated.
God won
again.
The devil is
once again.
Come here, darling. Just bring her here. I'm sorry. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace, surround you with his favor. May his angels camp themselves round about you and his blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody shout, I'm going for it.